mainstream with it by getting in front of who we need to get in front of. And so that's what's really set up for 2018. I'm going to get in front of people more. I'm going to tour, work on the concept album, and got some things in the mix. I mean, but luckily about this life, T, that I've realized, we can have a plan all we want, but a lot of things just happen just spur of the moment, man. So I can't tell you what's going to happen.
But I do know that it's going to be awesome and amazing.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Denny, I can honestly say that you are one of the best human beings that I've ever had the privilege of meeting.
Thank you.
And I'm just glad that you made some time to stop by.
Thank you, man. Oh, of course. Like, hey, man, one of these days, T, I'm going to bring you on the stage, man. I'm going to bring you on the stage. I got to let the people know that the mad scientist behind the Denny Lane's formula was first in you. And I'll always give you that credit, man. I'm telling you. Wow. I'll always give you the credit because whether it's speaking in front of people, whether it's mics, whatever, you were there. You saw the development. So I would pay you in some sort of way, man. But for right now, here you go. T was the man behind the Denny Lane's development.
How do people get in contact with you if they want to follow you?
Of course. Well, DennyLanes.com is where anything is. My shows, my merchandise, whatever you want to do, www.DennyLanes.com. Also, at Who Is Denny on Instagram, and also at Denny Lanes on Facebook and Twitter. That is DennyLanez.
A huge shout out to the one, the only, Denny Lanes, for taking time out of his busy schedule to make an appearance on the first ever edition of Generation Now. I'm so grateful. He's such a good friend, and I appreciate it so much. Check out his music on Apple Music and Spotify. He just released a new single called Guess Not. It's incredible. And thank you for listening to the first ever Generation Now. Stay up to date with everything WGTD, breaking news, latest headlines, facebook.com/WGTDFM. Until next time, bye everybody.
Support for WGTD comes from the University of Wisconsin Parkside, offering online degrees in sustainable management and health information management technology. Online degrees for emerging careers from the University of Wisconsin Parkside in partnership with UW Extension. To learn more, visit uwp.edu.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. I'm very pleased to welcome Dan Thielen, Chief of Secondary Transformation in the Racine Unified School District, to this edition of Education Matters. Welcome, Dan. It's good to have you with me today to discuss this most important development in Racine Unified.
Good morning, Dwayne. Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. It's my pleasure. The latest Phi Delta Kappa poll on the public's attitudes toward the public schools, published in September, indicated that Americans today want students to have a practical education as well as a traditional academic education. As a result, it seems Racine Unified is ahead of the game in the academies of Racine, which is going to be the focus of our program today. So, to get us started, Dan, tell our listeners about your education background and your professional experiences as an educator.
Yes, thank you. I started out as a math teacher within the Racine Unified School District in 1989 after graduating from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater with a secondary degree in mathematics. Over the course of time, as a math teacher, I started to develop relationships with administrators in the district, and we had spoken quite a bit about the possibility of me exploring administration in that. So long story short, after teaching 8 years of math at Gilmore, I became the assistant principal at Gilmore. And then I worked my way up to the directing principal at Knapp Elementary School, and then spent some time at Case High School as a sub-school principal, and then a directing principal at Gerstadt-Agerholm Middle School, as well as Gilmore Middle School, and then moving up to the directing principal at Park High School. And then I spent some time as our chief of human resources for the Racine Unified School District, and now in my current position with the district as the chief of secondary transformation. I have obviously administrative certifications from National Lewis University, as well as Cardinal Stritch, where I received my superintendent certification.
Great. I mean, what a great background that you bring then to your educational activities today. That is really wonderful. Teacher, administrator, local building administrator, middle school administrator, high school administrator, et cetera, central office administrator.
I've also had the pleasure of being an instructor at Gateway for about 6 years back in the 90s, and have also taught courses in the education department at University of Wisconsin-Parkside.
Wonderful. That's really great. What a great background that gives you, and then that's a wonderful compliment to our community to have someone with that kind of a background providing leadership for this most important development in Racine Unified. So give our listeners an overview of Racine's high school academies, and then we'll go into detail presenting the specific programs at Case, Horlake, and Washington Park High Schools.
Okay. The academies Racine were born out of conversations that we've had in the district about providing relevant real-life experiences for our students. And taking a look at our students in terms of graduating and the types of careers or post-secondary opportunities they're going into, we really wanted to focus in on providing a more aligned approach for them as they navigate their way through high school, trying to help them make those connections. And we felt that it was our responsibility to do so. And in essence, as we explored ways to do that, we were invited to participate in a study visit down in Nashville as part of the Ford Next Generation Learning community. And as we did that study visit and started exploring the ways that Ford Next Generation Learning has organized the work around academies and pathways, career academies and pathways, we felt that this was something that we could really explore as a school district. And we moved down that road and had a lot of input from the community and our stakeholders and so on. And long story short, in April of last year, we were identified as the 21st community of Ford Next Generation Learning. And so we have moved forward with that work and providing those opportunities for our students through the academies and pathways. And as we move through this interview, I can obviously share more information in depth in terms of, you know, the different work that we're doing with our high schools.
So is that an organization that you're working through and with then that's providing assistance or whatever?
Yes, it is. So Ford Next Generation Learning is the philanthropic arm of the Ford Motor Company.
Ooh.
And things were born back really in the late 60s. The Philadelphia School District started academies, and they kind of evolved over the course of time where Ford Next Generation Learning got involved to help the academy models grow across this country in that. So Nashville has been an exemplar of this work in that. So we have a great support system throughout the Ford NGL community, not only with the national organization, but with other Ford NGL communities from around the country, like Independence, Missouri is one that we do a lot of work with. Rockford, Illinois is another one. Those are some that are closer to the Midwest. They are spread out through the country, and there are some school districts over in Great Britain that are exploring this model as well, as they will be doing a visit. Ford NGL will be doing a visit over there to discuss academies and pathways with their school system.
Okay, that sounds great to have an organization that you can work through and then that provides support for you, and then also opportunity to go to other school districts and see how they're implementing this process.
Oh, most definitely. We've learned so much from other school districts and that are part of this. And it's nice to be able to either pick up the phone or just send a quick email to pretty much any community that's part of the Ford NGL family, and you know, kind of pick their brains on some of the things that they're doing, and you know, and share what we're doing, and you know, maybe having some of their people visit our district, and vice versa, and so on. So it's been a wonderful partnership, and I look forward to continue it growing.
Well, that's great. I think that's a real compliment to Racine Unified to be a participant in such an organization. So what are the foci of the programs at these high schools? Let's start out with Case High School.
Okay, well, Case High School, you know, they have their focus. You know, basically, if we look at all three high schools from a 30,000-foot view, and then we can talk about each of the high schools themselves. But most of the academies right now exist at all three high schools. I mean, you know, we have 14 different pathways that are spread out amongst the three high schools. So, for example, some of the focus, you know, at Case High School has you know, it talks about IB, you know, so they have programs. Obviously, there are IB high school within the city. We have an academy in health sciences and education. We also have an academy of business and culinary arts and a business or an academy in IT and technical services and that. So as we look at the workforce development data, we look at the infrastructure of the school, we look at the student voice and choice of the school, teachers' expertise and so on, that has helped us align these academies by each of the high schools. So as we continue to grow those academies and so on, they become very fluid, and the pathways themselves become very fluid. So we don't want them to become stagnant. So we are working with our staff, our advisory council. So our advisory councils are made up of business partners, employers, nonprofits, staff and so on to help guide us in the work that we are doing within each of those academies, and providing, and that guidance is so critical in terms of being able to articulate that information to our students. As we move on, so like for example, with Horlick High School, they have the business and culinary arts, education, technical services, health sciences, and aviation. The one specialty program there that's not offered at the other three high schools is aviation. And there is a big need for aviation mechanics, obviously a big need for pilots, which we're not down that road yet, but right now we're really focusing on aviation mechanics. So through the graciousness of Christopher Rood, who is the CEO and president of Delta Hawk, they have allowed us to use space in their hangar at Batten Field. So we have a plane that has been donated from a family up in Marinette, Wisconsin, that was delivered, brought down, and we now use that plane with our students to help guide the aviation curriculum, and they actually have hands-on opportunities to, you know, get their hands inside this plane and into the mechanics of it and so on. What has resulted with that partnership is that we have had other people come out and say, I have planes that we can donate as well for you to work on. So different types of planes, different sizes, and so on.
Wonderful.
So it's a great program. It's a great problem to have. You know, right now we're starting out small. We want to build it up
right
in that. So we're gonna take in consideration those other opportunities for our students. And then with Washington Park High School, they have the academies of health sciences and education, business and culinary arts, leadership, automotive, and technical services. And a couple programs that are unique to Park High School are the Army JROTC program, which started up back in January of this year. Long story short, as we worked with the Army for the potential of getting a JROTC program at Park High School, there's a certain application process you need to go through, and there's certain people that you need to be in contact to help facilitate this opportunity for us. And we found out basically around the end of November of last year that we had the opportunity to be granted an Army JROTC program if we were able to start it and launch it with the second semester, so in January of this year. So we spent pretty much those roughly 7-8 weeks working with students, working with the Army, and so on. And we were able to, by the end of the year, we had roughly 45 to 50 students that participated in that second semester of Army JROTC. This year, we have now approximately 150 students.
So
almost three times the amount of students that are involved in this Army JROTC program at Park High School and that. So that's part of that leadership pathway we're talking about. The other part that really Park has been known for over the last probably 10, 15 years has been their automotive program.
Right, we have, exactly.
We have the state-of-the-art facility where you walk into this, and it's like walking into many of the facilities dealerships have within within southeastern Wisconsin and that. So we constantly turn out local, state, national award winners in the areas of automotive. Students can earn their ASC certification, which means that once they get that ASC certification in one of those, I believe it's 7 or 8 areas, they can actually then go right into the profession and focus on that area that they're certified in, as well as building opportunities to be certified in other areas. So long story short, with the three high schools, we're identifying, as I said before, we're identifying the infrastructures within each of these facilities and the student voice and choice to really help guide us in this work and that. And we're really working at creating these, as we've been calling them, these centers of excellence for students to take advantage of these opportunities.
And one of the things that came to my mind as you were speaking here is do you have to put caps on your enrollments just simply because of space limits or whatever?
That's a great question, Dwayne. Our goal when students choose an academy, our goal is to have 100% of our students get their first choice.
Okay.
This past year, going into this year, because this is our first year with the launch of the Career Academies, last year we launched our Freshman Academies. So this year we have another round of our Freshman Academy, and the freshmen from last year are now in their sophomore year in that launch of the Career Academies, is that we were able to give all of our freshmen from last year going into this year their first choice. And that's
wonderful.
Exciting. It's very exciting in that. So we had to take a look at the different academy offerings and so on, and how we were going to put them together to be able to try to accommodate every student's first choice, as well as trying to maintain a level of balance within each of the academy. We didn't want to have one academy to have 500, another one to have 100, and so on. So, so with that being said, we probably see that become a little more of a challenge each year until we fully go to wall-to-wall academies. And when I say wall-to-wall academies, it means every single student in the high school is part of an academy. And that won't happen for another couple of years after this year, once we make it through this first class, the class of 2020, that makes it all the way through.
Right. Okay. The class of 2020 will have gone the full sequence then of academy.
Correct. Yes. Yes. That would be the case. So they were freshmen last year. They're sophomores this year and that. So each year will probably provide a little more of a challenge for us. And that's a good challenge to have. Well, at the same time, what's important for people to understand is that the work we do is very fluid, that we may have certain pathways now. They may not be there in 2 years. You know, as we look at the research, in many respects, we are preparing students for jobs that currently don't exist.
Yes.
You know, so that's a challenge that we have as well. So like I said, that's the most important thing, is that we want that workforce workforce development data and the student voice and choice and the needs of our community and so on. Is really helping drive, what we offer to our students.
Okay, and then let's talk about, so what's happening at the Real School with its new facility?
Okay, yeah.
That's really exciting, I think.
It's very exciting. Matter of fact, I was just out there yesterday talking with some of their leadership out there. We have a great program in collaboration with Gateway with Real School. As many people know, Real School is in their new facilities this year, which was the old Sportsplex out in Sturdivant, right near the movie theater out there. They moved from their old buildings, which used to be a college back in the day.
Yes.
And so they're very excited. The new facility is great. Construction companies and everybody involved did a great job in the planning of it and so on. It's really a great environment for students to learn. But one of the other exciting pieces to this is that we have developed, as I said before, this collaboration with Gateway, so that we have our students taking classes at the IMET, which is just a few blocks down the road in engineering. And we have built this program with Gateway so that this year we've launched it with our freshmen over at Real School. Then those freshmen will become sophomores, and another group of freshmen will come in. So we'll be scaling it up very similar to what we're doing with the academies and that, so that The class that is starting out there as freshmen this year in 4 years will be graduating from real school in that with, you know, with also these engineering credits that they've earned from Gateway and that. So they're studying different aspects of mechanical and electrical engineering. Part of their day over there is taught by an instructor from Gateway in the areas of engineering. And then part of their day over there is also taught by a Racine Unified instructor named Phil Kiley, who is doing a great job. And it's a focus on helping support the engineering curriculum that Gateway offers through Project Lead the Way that the school district offers. So our students are spending about two 90-minute blocks over there, spending part of their time with Phil and then the other part of the time with the the Gateway instructor. The beauty of this program is that once these students graduate from this program, they can earn 30 college credits. And that's just incredible. And like I said, it's Gateway's been tremendous in their support of this work as well as the support of the academies themselves. So we're really excited about the start of this and the growth of this. So we have two classes of 16 students, freshmen, that have chosen to follow this pathway. Real School also has an IT pathway right now that they're focusing on as another option for students. And that IT pathway is housed at the Real School. So that work is being done at Real School with supports as well.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so you've got a nice new exciting dimension as a result of the Real School having a new facility and being located so closely to the IMET facility and the Johnson facilities.
Yes, correct. Yeah, very exciting.
Boy, that is really incredible, and it certainly is a wise use, it seems to me, of taxpayers' funds and so forth, and a nice way of getting the community involved as well.
Well, yes, and it's also just it's a great opportunity for our students, you know, especially, you know, you get freshmen that are coming in,
yes.
You know, and they're still finding their way and so on in terms of what they want to do, and we're trying to provide those experiences for them to make those all-important career decisions and so on, that they can actually be on a college campus taking courses at the age of 14. And, you know, who would have thought? And it's really been powerful. And also to have our Racine Unified instructor to be able to teach on that college campus during the day, providing that leadership and guidance through Project Lead the Way in that. So it's just, we're just so, again, I've said it before, we're just so excited about these opportunities for our students.
Okay, that is really excellent. Now, what if a student decides what he wants to shift a program after he gets started in a program? Of course, the first couple years probably don't make that much difference, do they?
Well, that's a great question, and we get that quite a bit. Students are allowed, you know, particularly within the academies we've seen, students are allowed to change their choice of academy one time. And generally, we encourage students that if that change is going to be made, we'd like to see it sooner rather than later.
Yes.
You know, so for example, I know our director of CTE, Dr. Christopher Neff, he always says, you know, the one area that we see kids might change is like in the health sciences. Once they start looking at, you know, in some of the pathway work that revolves around health sciences, or, you know, they may see blood or something. It's
yes.
Like, yeah, you know, I'm not sure if I want to go that route.
Me
so
too.
So they make that change in that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it's all about engaging students in our schools. And if a student wants to change, and that's going to keep them engaged and keep them further interested in their learning in high school and that, then we're going to work with them on that. That's what it's all about. And I think back to a story that I heard in Nashville, and I've heard this from a student and a parent I spoke to personally. One of the student was she was a sophomore in college down there, and she went through an academy down there, and she decided, you know what, I'm going to study engineering. So she took the engineering pathway in that. So she felt about midway through her junior year, you know what, this is great, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to, I don't know if I want to do this as a career and so
yes.
on. But she felt the benefits that she got from the small learning communities, and when we talk about small learning communities, we're talking about small, like schools within a school, like we're talking about with the academies and these pathways and so on, that she was getting a lot of valuable experience and opportunities to work with teachers more closely and students that are all sharing kind of the same passion in that. And so when she graduated high school, she made the decision that, you know, she wanted to study something more in medicine than that. So So she wanted to go down the road of pediatrics. But the story behind all of this is that, you know, she paused and then looked at me and looked at her mom and said, and I also saved my parents a lot of money, because she said, if I didn't have these experience in high school, you know, and I didn't have this aligned pathway process, I would have graduated high school thinking, you know what, I'm going to go on and study engineering, and yes. Then I would have took some engineering courses in school. And, you know, by the way I've done this now, I've saved my parents thousands of dollars in, you know, college tuition and that.
She explored in high school as opposed to going to college, yep. And doing the exploring.
Yep. And then she also said there was a lot of connections to engineering and medicine in that she was, yes. Able to take with her too, that she felt that she was, even though she may have not took some of those health services types of courses in high school, she felt she was still well prepared.
And as you were talking, it made me think that for a person who becomes a teacher to have had that kind of an experience to do the shift and so forth, no matter what kind of a shift it was, that would be good background for them, because then they would understand the world these kids are going into.
Yes, very much so.
So how do the academies of Racine impact student achievement? How is achievement being affected? Now, this is only the second year, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's different data points that we're going to collect, and a lot of it, like for this year, is baseline data. You know,
yes.
Last year was baseline data for our freshmen and so on for the freshman academy. This year would be baseline data for our career academies and so on. But you know, some of the more simpler ones, obviously, we're collecting is, you know, so that type of engagement data. So, you know, what's school attendance look like?
Yes.
What does behavior
attitudes
look like?
Attitudes and behaviors. Yes.
Exactly. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the important pieces, you know, how are students performing academically? Do we see with this kind of structure that there's more engagement and they're taking a greater interest in school because we're aligning their interest with these pathways and that? So those,
yes.
will be the types of things that we'll be measuring. We've also, as part of my work, I'm part of a year-long fellowship with AASA, which is the Superintendents Association. I've been invited as part of the national organization to be part of what's called redefining readiness.
Ooh.
And what we're looking at is, you know, obviously every state has graduation requirements.
Yes.
And that's great, but that's to get students to the point, say, hey, you know, you've graduated. But have you graduated career and college and life readiness?
Uh-huh.
So that's the work that we're looking at, and we developed what we have called a success ready document based on that research. So we're looking at areas of, you know, our students, you know, earning industry certifications. You know, do we have, you know, how are students doing in, you know, those that have elected to take AP coursework and how they're doing in that coursework? Same thing with Project Lead the Way, same with IB. We're looking at students in terms of their success with Algebra 2, Algebra readiness. You know, we're looking at, you know, students taking an online class, you know, students getting that seal of biliteracy, being able to speak another language. So there's a lot of different other areas that we're looking at as part of our Success Ready document, as part of this research in career, college, and life readiness that we're using to help measure in terms of that critical piece. So it's more than just about graduating. It's about graduating career, college, and life ready. And like one of the life readiness indicators that we're focusing on is how does the student demonstrate grit and perseverance? And so, you know, so we're still working at developing measures for that, and that will be fluid in itself, how they advocate for themselves, how they present themselves, and so on. So all those kind of critical, you know, soft skills that, you know, we're focusing on, that we hear from employers that, you know, students need more of in that. So this document is, you know, really going to be our guiding force for helping our staff and our students and our families understand career and college readiness.
And you certainly are keeping your research people busy then, putting all this data together so that you can see what's happening where.
Yes, we are. I mean, we meet quite often, almost every other week in that. So
wonderful.
So as we develop the data collection tools as part of our data warehouse and that, so that's, you know, it'll be obviously easier over the course of time as we collect this data. You know, we have some things that we're growing up right now that to help guide us and track that.
And one of the things that strikes me about these programs and so forth is they're applied, and I think that's been the shortcoming as far as American education has been in the past, at least for K-12, is there hasn't been that much applied. And there's a lot of kids who need that and in order to stay interested.
Oh, most definitely, Dwayne. I mean, I think of what I've heard, and I know our superintendent, Dr. Hawes, shared with us one time that she was at a conference out in California, and the keynote speaker, who was a nationally renowned expert on education, made a comment about superintendents being curators of museums, which, you know, we kind of laugh, but, you know, there's a certain element of truth to that, because we really want to expand learning beyond the classroom walls. And that's why, you know, the work that we're doing with the academies we've seen and so on, what you've seen at Real School and so on, is really taking students beyond the school walls, but also putting in critical infrastructure and components within the schools themselves that can help teach our students.
And this makes me think, too, that I think part of the reason that we stuck to that academic kind of learning was because it was cheaper to do than to do the applied lab type of learning. And so then we as a community then have to say, well, we need to put more money. We need to be sure to invest in this in order to get the outcomes that we want in terms of quality education for our kids.
Oh, most definitely. And we've been very fortunate to have the support of our business and manufacturers and nonprofits within helping provide opportunities for our students, helping provide equipment, grant opportunities that we've received, that people have contacted us with, that are helping support the work that we're doing with the academies.
Okay. Now let's talk about Walden 3. What's happening at Walden 3 then as part of this renaissance that's going on in Racine Unified?
Okay. Throughout it started last year, and it's gaining momentum, and a lot of work is taking place by a lot of great people within the district and as part of our community, is that we're focusing on right now, in essence, a middle school transformation. So we are taking a look at the structures of our middle schools and what we offer and what we deliver to our students in middle schools. And I say that because this is where Walden comes in. For the listeners out there, Walden is a school. It's a 612 school. It's another alternative option for students within the district to be able to go to school there. And so what we've done is we've taken a look at what we have in terms of our middle school structures and our middle school attendance, and things like that. And in essence, what we're going to be doing is we're moving the Walden program, their 612 program, to the McKinley Middle School site. And the McKinley IB program will now be housed at Starbuck with the start of the 2018-19 school year. So one of the reasons for moving Walden into McKinley was it gives us an opportunity to grow. For those of you who have been in the Walden building, which would be the old Franklin building for many of us from back in the day, would be that it's just we love the building, we love the site, but it's past its time, and to be able to invest any more money in it would not be a wise use of funds in that. So,
and it limits what you can do too.
Well, and that's true, and it limits growth, and it limits upgrades to technology and things like that because of it. So Walden's moving into McKinley. We're looking to expand the program. Probably in upwards of close to probably about 700 students at some point as the programs continue to grow. But what's also going to be helpful to us is the work that we're doing with Walden is that they've always focused on the environment. They've had a passion about the environment. They had the solar panels on top of the roof, and it's really been looked upon as a kind of a green school.
Yes,
they want to continue with that culture and the work that they're doing. So the conversations that I've been having with their principal, Rob Kreil, and future conversations that we want to have with Gateway is that they have a strong interest in water engineering. And with them moving to the Walden site and being so close to the river and obviously, Lake Michigan, is a beautiful resource as well. And we look at the great program that Gateway has with their water environment, their water engineering program, as well as it's been documented the programs that UW-Milwaukee has. So that we just felt that there was a great opportunity for those students that had that strong interest to explore that route. So So as Walden moves, that's something that we're going to be looking at. There's also the possibility of maybe expanding into the area of robotics and mechatronics with them as well because of some of the space that McKinley has. So, again, these are all things that we're looking at, that we're having conversations about and wanting to develop. And we're looking to potentially develop a program very similar to what Real School has with Gateway and their IMET program. So so a lot of work that's, you know, that will, is starting and will be taking place and so on to bring Walden into that.
Oh, and we, and Racine is situated so nicely for these programs like the water situation. And we've discovered, I think, as a society in these last years, how important water is. And
yes,
it's a limited resource.
Yes, it
and
is.
We have to take care of that very carefully.
Exactly.
At this point, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Wayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I'm visiting with Dan Thielen, Chief of Secondary Transformation in the Racine Unified School District. Our program today focuses on the changes that have and are taking place in Racine Unified's high school academic and career programming. Now back to our program. Let's see. Let's move on here. So how did you happen to find this model that you're participating in terms of creating the academies of Racine? How did you come across that?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it really came up it came about as researching what are some exemplar models of high schools out there and the work that they're doing around mm-hmm. academies and pathways. We just felt that it was so vitally important that to that alignment with coursework and things
yes.
like that and preparedness in high school, that it would create more engagement opportunities for our students. So as we started exploring academies and pathways, as I said before, we came upon Ford Next Generation Learning, and like I said, they've been wonderful in terms of their support. They have been very impressed with the work that we've been doing here
yes.
in Racine. That we are much farther ahead than some of the other Ford NGL communities that may have been doing this longer. And it's not about a competition, but it's just
no.
But I say that because of the commitment that we have in this community to see our schools be successful, and the commitment of the business community. And I was at a Rotary function this morning, and Dominic Cariello, who is the
yes.
Who many of you know, who is the who works for Badger Meter, has been very passionate about education in Racine. He's born and raised in Racine, went to Horlick High School, was a one-star general, and has been involved with Racine Unified School District in education since 1993. And even back in 1993, his passion for looking at this type of work was evident back then. So he's been a great supporter and a great spokesperson out in the community for this, and that was really the topic of his discussion this morning at Rotary. So as we looked at these exemplar models, we settled in on Ford Next Generation Learning because of their support, because of the community, the network that you have, and so on. It's just been tremendous, all the opportunities we have with them and the things that they provide for us, not only at our high school level but our middle school level. We have a program that we're going to be looking at helping support middle school STEM and so on. That is free to us because of our partnership with Ford Next Generation Learning and that. So that's something that we're going to be taking a look at and providing to our staff as well. So that's how we got involved.
And you talked about middle school STEM. Define STEM for our listeners.
Okay. STEM is science, technology, engineering, manufacturing and that. But we also have arts component in there.
Yes.
So you'll hear STEAM.
STEAM, yes.
STEAM will be something that you will hear as well. And so it really is, especially with, as we look at Industry 4.0 now, that, with things that, as industry and manufacturing continues to grow, those types of STEM opportunities and curriculum and education that we're providing for our students becomes even more critical.
Okay, and our time is really moving very rapidly here, Dan. So I want to ask the last question that I have down here, and then we can go back to some others if we if we have time. Foxconn is on everyone's mind in southeastern Wisconsin these days. In fact, in Wisconsin these days. How do you see this development affecting Racine Unified secondary academic and career programming?
I think Foxconn has the potential to be a wonderful partnership with us, just like all of our other partners. We have so many legacy partners that have been involved with our work, and I think that with Foxconn coming, it's just going to give a greater awareness to the Racine area, and I think that you're going to see other companies and manufacturers move into this area to help support Foxconn, which will ultimately then help support also other local manufacturers and businesses and so on. I know one of the things that we had heard as Foxconn was working with officials and so on to determine location, and that was that they love the fact that we had this academies model in Racine. And that within this academy model, we already had pathways that were aligned to the some of the certain professions that, you know, and jobs and the types of skill sets that employees are going to need, especially in manufacturing and IT and so on. And if you think about it, you know, they have all other aspects, too, of, you know, marketing and business and, you know, those types of things as well, which we all have pathways for. So many, many of our pathways are already aligned to their employment needs. So they were very impressed with that, and that was one of the things that they really liked as they were exploring Racine as a potential community in that. So we have had some initial conversations with Foxconn about their involvement and participation. I know in conversations I've had with Gateway as well, as Foxconn is using some of Gateway's facilities in the interim, they would like to become more involved with Racine Unified, maybe help look at, you know, our facilities and so on, you know, whether it's our science facilities, our career technical education facilities, and take a look at our infrastructure and make some recommendations and so on, and be part of that planning process to, help, I guess, you know, become more modernized with the facilities that we do have that can help support not only their needs, but the community's needs.
Okay, and another question I want to ask before we run out of time here. So how are teachers handling these changes? And I'm also thinking of people like myself. I was a high school social studies teacher for 12 years. How are the social studies people doing?
Well, you know, like anything, when you have this kind of major change taking place, you know, and it's really, I mean, there's really a lot of technical but adaptive change that is taking place. You know, there's a certain amount of apprehension. You know, there's a certain amount of the unknown. You know, it's like, you know, in many respects, there's some things that, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you continue to work and evolve through that. So, you know, there's been a lot of teachers that have provided great support. There's others that are a little apprehensive, and that, and rightfully so. So, you know, so we've been working very intentionally to, you know, to keep those lines of communication open with our staff, and gathering their feedback as well in terms of, you know, needs. You know, and one thing that we've really focused on, just real quickly, is we've really focused on their professional development needs in the work that we're doing. So as we moved into highly effective teaming, so as high school teachers are teaming together cross content, which, you know, generally, you know, hasn't happened in a broad scale. You know, many high school teachers, you know, obviously work very closely with their other content, the same content types of teachers in that as they're working to develop curriculum and so on. So now as we expand this and we talk about cross-curricular and then project-based learning opportunities for them and so on. So we're providing a lot of professional development for them and ongoing professional learning needs embedded into daily practice with them to try to, you know, as we get into that transition, ease some of that apprehension.
Okay, and one more teacher-oriented question. Are you able to find specialized teachers in the various career areas to carry out these new academies and career programming?
So there's been some challenges in that area, especially, you know, in our area, in the area of CT, career technical education, and that. So we have worked with the state. I was part of a committee at the state level that worked on what is called the experience-based licensure program. And with the experience-based licensure program, there's a point scale that if a person wants to become a teacher, can take a look at, see how many points they would accumulate that would allow them to get involved and be a part of this experience-based licensure program. I believe it was 100 points. So the points could, you know, could center on what kind of education they've had, what kind of training they had, what's their expertise, and so on. So to really give you a quick example, you know, we, especially in the tech ed area, if we have somebody that, you know, we're having a hard time finding somebody to teach manufacturing classes, let's say, for example. We have one person that has come in that owned his own company in that,